And I think as we look at Scripture, you know, God has given us a plan so that this is possible. And I like a quote that Gladys Hunt has made in one of her books where she says, "Together, male and female represent man made in the image of God. Male alone was incomplete. A fuller representation of God's image necessitated female." And I happen to believe that God made us not to compete against one another, but to complement one another. And I know from my own experience that when a man and a woman really complement one another in the ministry, that both of them experience a satisfaction and a fulfillment in the ministry. In fact, I have learned so much from the men that God has given me the privilege of co-laboring with. And many men have contributed to my life. And I am very grateful, and I'm far richer today for those relationships. And you may think, well, as a single woman, you don't have that much contact. Well, I happen to have had a father, and I had two brothers, and I have brothers-in-law now, and all of them have made a contribution to my life, as well as many of the men in the Navigators. In fact, I would say that men have probably made as great a contribution in my life as women in the Navigators, and I'm very grateful. And, you know, I also like to think that by the grace of God, my life has also contributed to the men that I have worked with. And see, that's what God wants, for us to complement one another and to add to one another's lives. Now, contrary to modern day thinking, I happen to believe that there are differences between men and women. I remember writing to a conference in Minnesota one time with this young fellow, and we were talking about some of those differences. And we were having a great time. You know, our conclusion was that we liked those differences. And especially, you know, when I'm living with five young women, and there are many times that I find it very refreshing to have men around and to interact with them. So we do need one another. And, you know, as I thought and prayed about sharing with you on this topic of ministering to women, I felt I share with you what an important part your attitude toward women and toward the women's ministry plays in success of your ministering with women. And one of my prayers has been in the NAVs that we would have healthy attitudes toward the opposite sex. And my prayer has been that you men, you know, would have a healthy attitude toward women, and that I would have a healthy attitude toward men, and that we would not let our differences be, you know, just a source of irritation, but we would look at them rather as opportunities to grow in understanding of one another. We are different. And I'm sure we've all sensed those frustrations. In fact, sometimes I just feel like I have a man all figured out, and then he turns around and does something completely, you know, contrary to what I thought he would do. And, you know, I'd like to point out that women are very sensitive to the spirit of another person. And even though you may tell her that you're very much for the girl's work, yet she will look for your backing that up by your life. And the question, I think, then, is how can men demonstrate a healthy attitude toward women? And I have a transparency that I would like to put on here for you with some suggestions. There we go. Oops. Start. Oh, let's see. Can you see that? I don't know about way in the back. Hope you're farsighted or nearsighted, whatever it is. Okay, first of all, you can demonstrate a healthy attitude toward women by showing a love and concern for the souls of women as well as men. Now, I know that in the Navigators, you men want to concentrate on men, and we want you to do that. But a lot of it has to do with the way you communicate to the girls. Like I know for a few years, it seemed like the men, instead of sitting down and explaining to the girls that, well, we need to concentrate on reaching men, it was kind of like their attitude toward the girls was one, you know, they kind of ignored the girls. And all you have to do is just sit down and explain that we're really for you. But, you know, I believe that God wants me to concentrate on reaching men right at the moment. And girls will understand. They really will. And then, oh, also another way I think that you can show that you're interested in women is like if you're speaking. Do you have any idea how many times girls go to weekend conferences and they listen to speakers refer to men all the time? And you know, and the one thing I appreciate about Ron Kinnear, we had a get together on Saturday night, and every time he referred to men and women. And you know, that's a minor thing. And see, I'm used to it, you know, listening to men. In fact, I sit in the directors' meetings where there are 12 men and one woman. And you know, Bob Sheffield was always referring to his men. And once in a while, he'd insert, "and Jody." And see, I don't mind it in a situation like that. But I think some of the younger girls, and especially now with such an emphasis on women's lib, you know, some of the girls that we may be trying to reach are pretty touchy. And that's just a little reminder. That's one way. And secondly, having an interest in the training and equipping of women for life and ministry. See, if you're interested in helping them, this will communicate to them. And then thirdly, acknowledging women's contribution also to the Great Commission, that God has challenged us to have a part in this as well. And then fourthly, willing to listen to the girls. Now, I know that you really don't like all the detail that we give you. So my advice to the girls that when they're going to get together with the men is to cut out 95% of the details. And that's one way you can get men to listen to you. But I also give them a few pointers about when to talk to you. And I've challenged them, you know, suggested that they never want to talk to you about some very important thing when you're tired or hungry or have something else on your mind. One of the young wives overheard me saying that, and so she said, "So what other time is there?" There are the right times, I know. I've learned the hard way. And then number five would be planning for the girls along with the men and not on the backstroke. You know, so many times you plan only for the men, and I think one of the reasons is that you're busy. But I think this gives the impression to the girls, well, you know, we don't really count. So if you could plan along, you know, with the men and not kind of do it at the last minute. In fact, I know I've been in meetings where the discussion of the girls' work has been the last thing on the agenda. And, you know, the men are all revved up to go home. And you can imagine what kind of consideration the girls' work gets. And, you know, I know it's not intentional, but it's just one of those things that happens. And then number six, being interested in what's going on in a girl's life and encouraging her often. Communicate to her that you're more interested in her than you are in her ministry. And then seven, communicating that you accept her, trust her, and that she is doing a good job. Now, if she's not doing a good job, confront her. The girls would rather have you confront than to go along as though she's doing okay if she really isn't. And then number eight, displaying a sensitivity to her schedule and the pace of the girls. Now, I'd like to just suggest here that you need to have discernment to know when the girls are really too busy or when their tiredness is because of a mental attitude. Now, as I visited some of the campuses and some of the areas in the Midwest region, I've heard the girls complain, "Oh, we're so tired." But then, as I've checked their schedules, I feel like there's no reason for them to be that tired. And I think that the enemy will get in to a girl's life in this area of tiredness. And see, it is an emotional drain when you invest your life in the lives of others. And so girls can feel this pressure, and instead of really being too tired, it's a mental attitude. So you need discernment to know if the girls are really too busy or if it is that mental attitude. Did you want me to leave it on? Okay. Yeah, sorry. Okay, another thing that will help you, I believe, in ministering to women will be an understanding of the differences between male and female thinking patterns and outlook on life. First of all, women are people-oriented rather than ministry-oriented or goal-oriented. In other words, they're more concerned about helping people than keeping statistics. And if you've worked with women, you may have found this out already. And secondly, relationships mean much more to women than organizational lines. Now, to you men, those organizational lines are very important, and you don't very often cross over. Well, to us, you know, we can zip all around. It doesn't make any difference. You know, the relationships are the important thing. And women don't serve God to conquer the world, but or because of a job or a position. But we serve God out of obedience to Him because we love Him. And to me, that's a big difference. And then women tend to make decisions based on a quick evaluation of the facts plus intuition. And I think sometimes it's hard for you men to understand how we can do this because very often you deliberate for a long time. But, you know, I've been amazed at how many times I've evaluated a situation right by using my intuition. I can't explain it. I could never explain to the men how I've come to a conclusion. But many, many times I've been right. And sometimes it might help, you know, if you were willing to listen to. Now, you have to be sure that she's not basing what she says on how she feels at the moment. I'm not talking about feelings, but I'm talking about that intuitiveness that God has given us can be a help.
So,
yes?
What's the contrast to the man being motivated by a desire to conquer the world? What is a girl's motivation?
Obedience to God because we love Him. See, we're not out to conquer the world, but to obey God because we love Him. And then women appreciate the security of knowing what is expected of them. You know, spell it out what you want her to do. There is security in that job description. I know this last year, with all the experience I've had and everything, it was very frustrating because I was trying to do things in the region and I was very involved in the Chicago community ministry. And it was too much and it was very frustrating. One time I just went to Bob Sheffield and I said, Bob, what is my job? You know, it was just too much. And this summer, oh, I never want to go through another summer quite as busy as that. And so now the situation has changed. But see, girls need to know what you expect of them. And see, lots of times you can give men responsibility and they'll just go out and kind of do what they want. I think that's a difference, that girls like to know what you expect of them. And women are very practical in their thinking process. And I'd like to use an illustration of something that happened last Christmas time. We were planning our Christmas party for the Chicago community, well, the alumni singles. And I was talking with Ron Knauer, and the fellows were taking the girls out for dinner, and then we were going to come back to our house for dessert. Well, Ron Knauer suggested a dessert fondue. Well, there were 50 of us, by the way. That helps if I give you the number. 50 people coming back there. And he suggested dessert fondue. Now, I love dessert fondue, but immediately I thought of all the work involved in serving 50 people dessert fondue. And see, sometimes I think you may think that a woman is attacking your idea, when in reality she's just being practical about it. And see, we tend to see all the work involved in it. And then most girls don't like to assume complete responsibility for something. And they function better as a supporter than independently. And that's why I say you need to keep good communication with the girls in your area. We like to feel that we fit into a team situation. We don't like to be left alone. And women are challenged by meeting the needs of people rather than big projects. You know, I think you men really like big projects, and we are challenged by meeting the needs of people. And girls are very sensitive in relating to others. I remember sitting in on some meetings. Actually, I was doing some secretarial work in the training policy conference, probably at least 10 years ago at the Glen. And there were two men who got in a real argument over something. And I mean, the way they talked to one another, I just sat there and I thought, they'll never speak to one another again. And you know, at coffee break, they had their arms around one another, you know, and it was just like they were old buddies. Well, you'd never get women to make up that fast. Takes a long time. And we're very sensitive, you know, in how we relate to one another. And women are much more life-oriented than ministry-oriented. We don't study the scripture for great battle plans or outline for messages, but for suggestions on how to live. And women tend to think narrow and not in the broad sense. And we need reminders to think broad. And how many times, you know, it just seems like I just zero in, you know, and then I've been with the men, and it's just like they, you know, help me to really think broad again. And you can help us tremendously in that way. And most women are much more subjective than objective. And I think you men can help women become more objective. I know the men that I have been around have helped me in this area. In fact, many times it's been, when I've been around them, it's either cry or, you know, to become more objective. And I don't particularly enjoy crying in front of men, so I've toughened up my skin a little bit. And I know from my own experience that I've had girls cry when I point out some little thing to them, maybe around the house, and I've just shared with them. I said, why, you know, are you so subjective? Well, see, they need to see that we're not attacking them, but we're just helping them. And we need to, and I quite often tell them to toughen up their skin a little bit, because that's nothing. And quite often, 2 minutes after I mention something, I will have forgotten it. So why make such a big deal out of it? But women do tend to be very subjective. And, you know, women do need input from the men as they are involved in the ministry. And I have made a list of things here, of ways that you can help women. I'll just take one at a time and then I'll explain it. The basic needs of women in the ministry where men need to give input. And first of all, in the area of direction. For instance, I made a trip down to one of the areas where we have a fairly new community ministry. And I had dinner with, I think, 5 of the young women who are involved in the community ministry there. And as I talked with them about their evangelism, I asked them, you know, where they were sharing Christ. Well, you know, one was sharing with a 70-year-old woman, and I think another one was a teacher, and so she was sharing with some of her, I think, fourth graders or however. And it just seemed like, you know, they were, they really didn't have a target area. And so I just challenged them to make their target area young, single women, you know, who would be much more available for them to help. And I think that's where you men can give girls direction, that you can help them to, you know, set up a target area and be sure that they're moving in the right direction. And, you know, and challenge them to reach out with young women with potential. Because sometimes, girls are, they feel like, well, I want to reach anyone. And that's true. We don't want to, you know, look at somebody and say, I don't want to reach you because you don't qualify. That's not it at all. But we do need to have a target area, and we do need to be praying and asking God to bring people that we can help who do have potential. And then vision is another area that you can give women input into. And see, we can get so involved in developing relationships that we forget about selecting that one person of like heart and making an investment in her. And then another area would be, as I've already referred to, in the area of objectivity. See, don't let women look at every circumstance in light of how it affects them. And that's very often what they do. And I think one way that could help would be if they're willing to let others minister to their girls. See, when we're subjective, it's kind of like, well, I have my girls. And I think that one of the ways to help them to be a little more objective would be, okay, you know, let somebody else come in. Let the other girls minister. And it's not as though I have my girls. And then another area would be in the area of setting goals. That most young girls need help to make them realistic and practical. And then check up to see how they're doing afterwards, too. And then another area would be in the management of time. You can help them with their schedule. And help them to live by priorities. I think that's probably one of the hardest things that women find. You know, we get so involved with people that we don't live by priorities. And another area would be in the area of selecting. And here you can help them see. Now, if you're really young, you may not, it may be difficult for you too to help them select girls with potential. And maybe you could have another staff girl come in and help in your area. But girls very often, if they're very young, they need help in this area. I mean, I've been so involved in working with girls for so long that I have pretty keen insight. And yet still, I appreciate the men's input too when I'm making a decision on something. And you can help them with this. In fact, the same area that I visited, one of the, well, the key girl that the man is working through down there had selected, actually her gift is showing mercy, which is very often a gift that girls do have. And so she had selected a couple of girls that really, well, I don't know that they were problem-centered, but she had not selected the girls with the greatest potential to live with her. And I was there just a few hours, and right away I selected, this one girl that I would have invited to live with me. And another staff girl had been there the day before and had made the same decision. So they do need help in that area of selecting. And then another area would be in the area of ministry skills. You can teach girls how to give the bridge illustration, how to follow up. But sometimes I think it's good if a staff woman can come in and give, kind of modify it a little bit maybe, or help them to know how to present it to girls. For instance, you don't treat girls the same way you handle men. I remember these two girls at the University of Minnesota. They were had some young girls that they were helping, and these young girls were struggling. Well, they went to the man who was over them, I think he was a contact staff, and asked them what they should do. And so he gave them the advice that he used, well, tell them to shape up or ship out. Well, I guarantee you, if you say that to a girl, she'll ship out, and sure enough, that's what happened. And now, this doesn't mean that you don't want girls to shape up, but you don't go about it quite in that direct manner. And then help them in planning, too. Help them, talk over with them, the needs that they see in the lives of the girls, and then plan accordingly. And then another area would be in the area of equipping. That you be sure that they have, girls have the necessary training before they're given ministry responsibilities. In fact, we have probably had more difficulties in the Midwest when girls have been given responsibility too soon. I don't know what it does, but it very often wipes them out. And so be sure that they're equipped before they're given the responsibility. Now, I'd like to suggest that you need to look at girls as individuals and not saying that, well, all of this will work or all of them need all of this. But to look at girls and to see their individual needs. For instance, I have girl A is very mature and stable. She thinks on her own. She's good in relationships. She's wise in the use of time. Then I have girl B. She's disorganized but good recruiter. Difficulty in getting things done. Easily discouraged. Then girl C needs lots of supervision. Must be told what to do. Insecure. Now, I'm sure you can see that you need to give girl C a lot more input than you give to girl A or girl B. And see, and like if you took girl A and you told her everything that she had to do, then see, it would be she'd have no mental stimulation at all. And I think you have to decide the maturity of the girl and then give input to them according to their needs. And see, girl C needs much more guidance than girl A. And you cannot expect girl C to produce the same way as girl A. And I'm sure that, I don't mean to call girls A, B, or C, but there are girls of different maturity in different places. And it is what you don't want to do is to compare and expect the girl in your area to produce the same way as a girl in another area who probably has had more input and more help. Now, when Bob wrote me about this session, he mentioned that many of you do not have girls, workers, co-laboring with you. So I thought it might be helpful to you if I shared a few suggestions on, first of all, ministering to women in a new area, just some general guidelines. And then ministering to women where the ministry has been established, but there's no girls worker. And then thirdly, ministering to girls where there is a girls worker. see if I can find my transparency here. Okay, first of all, pray for contacts with the right kinds of girls. Now, I'm not talking about evangelism, that you go out and you check over the girl before you share Christ with her. But I'm talking about the kind of girls that you want to build your ministry around. And I have attractive, I don't mean beautiful. And by, in fact, I very often when I refer or talk to the girls, I call her an all-American girl. And I mean that she is attractive, and you can usually tell by her appearance whether she cares about how she's dressed. She's neat and clean, and she cares about herself. And that she's intelligent, able to communicate a vision. And then that she's well-adjusted, not problem-centered. And one way you can quite often tell is how does she relate, not necessarily to men, but how does she relate to other women? Because some women, especially if they're very attractive, they relate very well to men, but they do not relate very well to other women. And then another guideline or another suggestion I would have is that you take your time deciding which girl you want to use to coordinate things for the girls. Don't select a key person too soon, because it's much harder to get them out or to change the situation once you have somebody in there. And I think, you know, you can get really excited about someone, but I would just like to caution you. And here again, maybe you could invite a staff girl from another area to come and spend some time with the girls and just get her input. I feel like we need to, you know, work with one another and use one another in the ministry. And then be aware of the asset that girls can be to your ministry. You know, communicate that they are a vital part of the team, even though your main concentration will be on men. You know, you can communicate in the very beginning that girls are a vital part of your team. And then challenge the girls to encourage and help one another rather than being dependent upon you or demanding too much of your time. And especially if you're single, you know, the girls may want to spend more time with you. But they can challenge one another, and it'll be good for them to learn from one another. And then sometimes I've heard men say, you know, well, we have so many girls around. What can we do? And my suggestion would be to raise the standards and you'll get rid of them. Or some of them. I hope there are a few that will stay around. But the standards for girls should be that they complete their Bible studies and involved in evangelism. There are a lot of girls who would not be willing to be involved in evangelism, and that they're willing to help one girl. And of course, these are just general suggestions. And then be aware of how the girls are doing. Be alert to the girls' schedules so that they're not too busy. And ask them how things are going. You know, lots of times girls will not tell you how things are going, and that's where you need to ask questions to find out. Now, I've also listed some possible dangers here. And one would be using the girls only to serve you and your men without encouraging and helping them. And see, girls very often girls like to serve, I think, for the most part. They love to serve at coffee breaks, and they love to serve you men. But sometimes I think the enemy gets in there, and they can serve too much. And then what is a very positive thing turns into a negative. And then they start to, you know, they resent that when you ask them. So you need to be sensitive to that. And then another possible danger would be that girls become like the people they're around. And if there is no staff girl there, they very often will pick up some of your gestures and the way you talk. In fact, that was one thing I noticed when I first started traveling throughout the region. We had not a leadership conference, just a girls' conference. And I could almost pick out the girls who were from areas where there were men and not really a staff girl, because you know you do become like the people you're around. And then another danger that I have here in my notes I don't have on there is that you have to be careful that girls are not yes girls. And see, one thing I have found in the NAVs that girls can say yes to you, and in their hearts they're saying no. And one of the things I have tried to encourage the girls in the Midwest is to be honest with you. And see, for a girl to say yes to you and to be saying no in her heart is deceitfulness. And so what I have tried, one of the suggestions I made to the girls is that if they don't agree or they don't like something that you have planned or one of the men has planned, I share with them what I have done in the past. And I usually, when a man mentions something, that's not when I talk to them. I don't react or I don't share it right then. But I go home and I pray and I ask the Lord, well, now, Lord, is this something that you really feel is the right thing for the girls? And as I pray about it, then lots of times God will say, well, yes, it is. And see, if I had confronted right as soon as I heard, then it would have been, you know, the wrong thing. But after I've prayed about it, if I still feel that God is impressing, you know, upon me that I should say something to the staff man, then I go and I talk to him about it. But a decision that I made a long time ago is that once he makes the decision, I go along with him. I believe in the sovereignty of God, and I'm not going to fight him. And that's just, you know, a good policy for the girls, I think, that they're honest with you. But, you know, it's up to you. The decision is yours. And all we can do is give you input, and then you have the responsibility. And many is the time, too, that I remember when I did make a suggestion, even after I prayed about it, and the men went ahead and said, well, I think we should do it. And afterwards, I realized they were right. And so you do have that responsibility. But encourage the girls, you know, to speak up and to share how they really feel. And see, to me, true submission is agreeing in your heart by what you're saying outwardly. Okay, then my second transparency is on ministering to women where the ministry has been established, but there is no girls worker. Assume responsibility for the women and be willing to help them. Work through one or two key girls if possible. Here again, you need to, you know, select the one or two. And then another guideline would be to keep the standards high. Completed Bible studies with good applications. Involved in regular evangelism, investing your life in one girl, attending prayer meetings and activities. And I have down here, if it's a campus ministry, that she's faithful in class assignments and study time. One of the things that's been a little hard for me in the Midwest is to have parents come to me and share how their daughter has spent 4 years in college and she just slid through. You know, they paid her way through. And sometimes when she gets out, she's not even qualified to do anything. And we need to be careful if girls are going to school that they do, there's only 4 years of their life that they will be in college, and they need to invest and hit those books too. In fact, if, for instance, you know, if I were in the hospital and a nurse were taking care of me who had been around the NAVs and hadn't really studied the books, I would much prefer someone who had really hit the books taking care of me, even though she were a navigator. Okay, then include girls and plan for the girls in your planning sessions. And one of the reasons, it's not that they're going to tell you what to do, that they won't do this, but it keeps them up on your thinking. That's why I like to be in on the meetings that the men have. And very often I don't make very much of a contribution, but it sure helps me to understand the way the men think and to keep up on their thinking. And then you can encourage interaction and ideas regarding the girls. And then again, don't give girls responsibility too soon or too much responsibility. And here again, men grow into responsibility, but this is not necessarily true for women. And then bring a staff woman in, if possible, to help evaluate and share with your girls. And then I put down here, too, something that might be a little helpful, but I feel that the girls in this situation, too, have a responsibility to you. And it would be to keep you informed on how the girls are doing. And one thing that I found in Minneapolis is that sometimes we think we always have to get together personally with someone. And the apartment leaders in Minneapolis would call me at least once a week. And we would just talk over the phone for probably 15 or 20 minutes. And, of course, if you like the phone like I do, you're probably finding it hard to call people. But that is one way to get around having to meet someone. And then they should support you among the girls and be loyal to you. If these are your key girls, that's what they, because a bad attitude will spread. And then they need to be positive and an encourager. And be available for the activities and studies to assist in carrying out the ministry God has given you and to give input into the needs of girls. Okay, then the next it would be ministering.
Could you give us that back?
Ah! Sorry. Print those off for us. Oh, you want me to read them off? Keep you informed on how the girls are doing. What? Oh, print the all these off. I do have some typewritten copies. If somebody would want to make some copies of them. I probably should have done that.
If you leave us a copy, Jody, we'll run them off. Yeah.
Okay, I do have some. I'm trying to hurry because the time deal. Okay, ministering to girls where there is a girls' worker. Spend time regularly with the girls' worker. And then I have some suggestions under here. Develop a good friendship with her. And inquire about how she is doing personally. And discuss the girls' ministry with her. Ask for her ideas and suggestions. And encourage her in the ministry. I'm sure those of you who are married know how often your wife likes to hear that you love her. Well, girls like to be encouraged. And even though you may tell her one week, you know, that, and you may encourage her, I think we still are insecure and we need that encouragement. And then be completely honest with her and confront her on things that you don't like. And then give specific help when she asks for it. Now, I have an illustration of a girl that moved to a campus. And she wasn't really a girls worker, but she wanted to go down and help some of the girls there. And she had been around for a while. And so she would go to the man in the area and she would ask, she would tell him some of the difficulties that she was having. And so instead of really talking it out with her, he would give her a Bible study to do every time. And so I was talking to her one time, and I was asking her how the communication was going, and she said, oh, I've given up going to him. She said, I'm tired of doing all those Bible studies. And see, Bible studies don't, I mean, now they may meet a need if you would get together with her afterwards and discuss it. But just to give her a Bible study to do, just not really getting down to the issue. And so she would appreciate a little more input than that. And then include the girls' worker in the planning meetings. Now, I've repeated myself several times, but what I did about a month ago is I sent out a questionnaire to the girls in the Midwest region so they could give me some input on this. And I just asked them for some of their ideas. And one of the things that practically all of them mentioned is that they do like to get in on the planning meetings because of the way it helps them to know your thinking. And see, if you do have an agenda, if you could give her a copy of it too so that she would know, like if you're expecting her to come up with ideas for the in regard to the girls, so she would have time. She could plan ahead of time and to make a contribution. And then let's see, get to know the girls who are involved in your ministry. Interact with them and communicate to them that they are an important part in the ministry. And then one of the girls made a suggestion that she likes to have the man in the area have a special get together when he shares with the girls, or they just maybe to have a dessert together, and that will help you get to know them also when the fellows aren't around. And then look out for her personal needs. Give suggestions on raising finances. I think that's one very practical area. And then be sure she gets a day off. I think some of us, that's not what I practice. I mean, I try to do that, but anyway. No, once a week, I think she should have. It doesn't always work out that way. I know from my own experience. In fact, I wouldn't know what it was like to. But be sure she gets a good vacation each year, too. Now, this past year, we had staff development at Wheaton College. We took a grad course. for 2 weeks. We went to school for 4 hours a day. We were supposed to put in 2 hours of study for every class hour, and we had NAV activities going on. Oh, it was a very busy 2 weeks, and I think all of us, the men and women, felt wiped out after that. And many of our staff went right into training programs. And one of the girls that was there went right into a training program. When she finished with the training program the first part of August, she went home, and instead of having a good vacation, she helped her mother sell the farm and auction off all the stuff and move into a new home in town. And I think they spent 2 or 3 days together. Well, this fall I got a call from the staff man on the campus, and just about wiped out our staff girl. So be sure that she gets a good vacation. And then provide opportunities for her to fellowship and interact with other women on peer level. And some of the girls who are here this week asked me if this would be one thing that I would was going to bring out. It is very, like, you men get together and you can interact. And see, very often a girl feels very alone in a situation. And it is so good for us. In fact, Beth and I have talked about it. And we call one another quite often and just talk over the phone. And we like to get together because it's good to get together on a peer level. And just to be able to share some of the things that you're facing and to get ideas from someone who's in the same situation as you are. And then to have some fun times together, too. Okay, now, when Bob Sheffield, right after he moved out to the Glen, I had a couple of his girls visit me from California. And after they left, I sent him a note, and I sent along a little sheet, and I had how NAV men can encourage the women in the Navigators. And I thought you might be interested in seeing this. Actually, I've revised it just a little bit. But I have here, communicate regularly with the girls, listening to them, showing interest in their personal lives, and genuinely caring about their needs and looking out for them. And here again, a lot of that can be done on the phone. But then plan for the girls' work. Here it is again. Plan for the girls' work alongside planning for the men so that you don't give the impression that the girls planning for the girls' work is done on the backstroke and if there's any time left over. And then include girls in planning of co-ed activities and special conferences to get their input regarding workshops, seminars, et cetera. I'd like to give you a good illustration. I think it was a couple years ago I was asked to lead a workshop at one of our conferences. And the workshop that they gave me was God Made, dot, 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 a woman. Now, have you ever seen a workshop for men, God Made, dot, 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 a man? I don't know, but I just felt like that had to be a man, you know, and it's kind of like the big mystery of a woman. And I know, too, for the Permanent Difference, I received a letter from one of the men who was working on it, and the topic that he had for me was a single woman in today's world. Well, number one, Christian girls, you know, don't particularly like the emphasis on the single anyway. And I thought, well, so I changed it to a woman's influence in today's world. And see, maybe that'll help you to see that I think it is good for girls to have input into the workshops that they will be leading and some of the needs. And then encourage the state directors and other staff men to check with the girls under them regarding their needs and desires before making decisions involving the girls. In other words, you know, don't spring some big decision on a girl, but find out what her interests are and what she is thinking, and then take that into consideration. And then avoid the negative humor, which is prevalent today. Knocking people in a joking manner in referring to girls' workers or the girls' work. Now, you would not believe the things that I have heard about girls' workers. You know, the negative things. I can't believe the way the enemy always sees that they get back to us. In fact, there's a verse in Ecclesiastes where it says, be careful what you say in your bedchamber about the king because a bird will come and take the words, you know, something like that. And I've often thought of that verse in regard to some of the things that I've heard, you know, and I've said, well, now, Lord, why did that person feel that they had to, you know, bring that negative, you know, feedback to me? But it just seems like the enemy will always try to do that. And be careful what you say. Sometimes you do it jokingly, but, you know, if there are girls around, they can be sensitive about that. And I've just been glad that my security is not in the reputation of a girls worker, but in Jesus Christ. Okay, avoid communicating to younger women that some women get married and some become girls workers. Statistics prove that many girls workers do get married, and there are some married women are also involved in the girls' work. So I think that's self-explanatory. And then challenge young men and women to be available to do the will of God rather than just serve God as they live their life today. See, I feel like there is an attitude in the world today that, I mean, it's popular to serve God, but it's kind of like you live your life and you kind of serve God as you live your life. And I don't know, as I think of being a disciple of Jesus Christ, it has involved cutting across the grain of selfishness and living my own life. And I feel one of the things I have prayed is that there would be some young women in the States who would be willing to give a few years of their life, believing that God in His timing will bring someone, you know, into their life. And I've seen it. We've seen it happen in the Midwest, you know, where maybe they've given 3 or 4 or 5 years of their life and God has brought someone. And it's really been exciting. And see, the one thing I hate is sometimes when I talk to girls is that just because I'm single, you know, they feel that if they're going to be a girls worker, it means that they're going to be single for the rest of their life. And that's not necessarily so. And then 8 would be to communicate positively to other staff men, especially the younger men, the plus factors of having trained young women co-laboring alongside you. And by trained, I don't mean that it has to be someone who's gone through my apartment or Beth's apartment. I mean, there are many young women who have trained themselves, and many of the wives who haven't, you know, and they are very capable and very trained. And but I think, you know, I would like to see that you really believe in the training that the girls are getting. And if they're not getting the type of training that you feel is beneficial, then I feel like you need to give us input. In fact, a couple years ago, there were 2 young fellows who came through the Chicago area, and we were spending some time together. And one of them said, Jordy, what would you say if I told you that I knew a man who had married a girl who had been lived in a training apartment, and he had to retrain her? And my comment was then, well, then we're doing something wrong. See, I like to feel that any girl who lives with me could fit into as a wife, and that the things that she learns, you know, are a contribution to her life and to her ministry, whether she's married or single. So then my curiosity got to me, and I said, well, what was it? Could you share with me? So then he shared that this girl apparently had picked up that the thing that irritated her was that he didn't have all his shoes pointed in the same direction in the closet. Well, now, I have never emphasized that all the shoes have to be pointed toward Mecca. And I think what she picked up probably was a detail rather than a principle. And I think that's what we have to be careful of, is that people don't pick up details. But, and see, the principle would be to keep your closet neat so you can find things right away when you're in a hurry. But I don't know. That was rather interesting. And another suggestion would be to pray for us as beloved co-workers in the gospel. And then 10, include single women in your giving program. This is one that I thought of just before I came. But, and the reason I mention it is not so much for the money, but it's just, I feel like when men give to me, it's like it's a vote of confidence that they believe in what I'm doing. And it's not necessarily to supply my needs, but just to give me that vote of confidence. Then I just have one more transparency, believe it or not, a few suggestions on training programs, and then I'll quit. And I have, first of all, include staff women in on selection of team leaders. Now, I don't know, last year I was not included, and the year before I was. And see, one thing, I don't know how you do it here in this region, but I know the state directors get together and they come with their lists of qualified girls for team leaders. And so they kind of run around the table and fill in. And see, I feel like if your staff girls can give input, then they can think, well, I'd like to have this team leader working with that girl. And it, to me, that would be the advantage of that. Not that, and I'm not sure that it would always work out. But then also include staff women in on planning meetings for training programs. And some of the girls have felt like we have women's assistants We have the director and then the assistant director, and then we have women's assistants, one, and she works with the team, girl team leaders. And quite often I have heard from some of the assistants is that by the time they get to the training program, all of the plans have been made. And so anything that's done for the girls has to be the extra that's added to the training program. And I think it might be good if the girls could get in on the planning. And then we need trained women's assistants at the level one training programs. Now, do you have women's assistants at your training programs? Okay. And I think that it's more essential probably to have a trained woman's assistant at a level one than at a level two, because the maturity of the level two team leaders, we feel like it's really important at this level one. Now, that's from the girls. That was some of the input I got from them. And the team leaders decide the girls who will be on their teams. And then opportunity for special sessions and activities to meet the needs of girls. One person brought out that brother-sister teams are a good idea, but schedule should allow girls some team nights alone with their girls so that they're not all the time with the brother team. And then a few opportunities for separate sports and social activities. And then team leaders, men and women, pray together and do fun things together to build unity. And then be careful about stereotyping women in regard to time, schedule, and Bible studies. There are some women, believe it or not, who do like to do in-depth doctrinal studies. And, of course, some girls have a greater capacity in regard to schedule. And then I just listed some special topics that are often needs of girls that could be covered in a training program: developing convictions, vision, interpersonal relationships, self-image, purity, good grooming, organization, management of time, moods, attitudes, developing healthy relationships with men, and decision making. Now, and just in closing, I'd like to share one verse that I have often prayed for us in our relationships, and that's Ephesians 4:16. And it says, under his direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. Each part in its own special way helps the other parts so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And I think as we co-labor together, that's what we want, you know, to help one another so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love.